Okay, you hear?
Yes, that's very helpful for us. Thank you very much. We will walk away and digest it.
Okay, then let's move to the next topic, agenda point number 6, management commentary. That's the TR.
So we have three topics which we would appreciate your feedback on management commentary today, which is a lot of ground to cover in the 40 minutes we have set aside for the discussion. So I'll keep this introduction very brief. The first of those topics is around the discussion of corporate strategy. Strategy is very important to the way that we have approached the management commentary, because we are essentially asking corporates to set out their strategy and report their progress against it. So having a well-described strategy in the management commentary is important. However, we recognise there is a challenge here around practice that is often focused around shorter-term aspects of strategy, the operational tactics, rather than the longer term direction of business. So on slides 11 to 13, we have set out our proposed approach, which essentially builds down from the entity's purpose into, through the entity's objectives and into its plans for executing those objectives. So we would like your viewpoint from a user perspective of whether you think that will provide you with better information, and from a preparer perspective, whether you think that will provide you with an effective basis for describing your strategy and operationalise that approach. Secondly, on culture, we've heard a lot about the importance of culture, but equally, we are concerned that simply prescribing the a discussion of culture in a management commentary would potentially lead to boilerplate disclosures. So what we would appreciate your thoughts on very much is the question of to what extent should culture be made explicit within the practice statement, to what extent do we need to make it explicit to support good descriptions of culture, not the question of whether culture is important to the success of an entity. On slide 17, we have set out three components that we could see potentially through a discussion of culture. Firstly, around describing the entity's culture. Secondly, around linking that description of culture to the entity's objectives and plans, and then thirdly around the role of KPIs, particularly in relation to the entity's resources and relationships and the insights that that can provide into the entity's culture. So again, please, if you can focus the discussion there on the components you think we need to put into the practice statement in order to support an effective discussion without driving boilerplate disclosure. And then lastly, we'd like your thoughts around descriptions of funding and liquidity strategy. We are proposing here to ask entities to describe their ability to fund their strategy, and recognising here the potential trade-off that exists between the retention of earnings and the reinvestment of earnings. So this is a discussion focused around the reinvestment of capital and the choices around there. On slide 21, we've set out a proposed approach. The piece I want to stress to you here is that approach does not require management to make predictive statements around
the outcome of funding. It's all about describing what their plans are for funding their strategy, rather than predicting the outcome of their strategy. So the questions we'd like you to consider there are, firstly, do we think this is a useful way of structuring the guidance to support that discussion? And elsewhere in the management commentary, we will be asking for information around the entity's position, which would include funding. And from a preparer perspective, would you foresee any challenges in providing that discussion? So three questions to consider. We are aware of the time pressure that you're going to have for this discussion. So we've asked our facilitators to open the discussion in each group on a different question first. So not all of you will start with question one, just so that we make sure we cover everything. But please do, we would like all groups' views on all topics, please. Okay, so I think with that we have until 10:50, if I'm correct.
10:50 we report that. Any questions to the...
Yeah. Maybe as we go through it, should we think about what the auditors can actually audit as well? And again, we have four documents and over 400 pages of disclosure in which a lot of this is covered, so it's overlap, and I guess some of it's audited, some of it isn't, and I'm just wondering, have we thought through that in some of these recommendations on the auditability of culture, as an example?
I think that, yeah, verifiability generally has been an issue that we've discussed within management commentary. So those are considerations that are very helpful to have perspectives on. Management commentary itself is not normally an audited document at the moment. Their auditors do have some responsibilities. So yes, we would appreciate insights.
Okay. Thank you.
Let me just build on that. But the feedback we got from the working group on management commentary was we're going to build the best management commentary structure you can, worry about auditability secondarily, but don't build it bound by the limits of current auditing standards. I mean, the auditing standards, they recognize, at least the IAASB recognizes a need to get more into the space. They're working it, no promises where they'll come out if they change at all. But they acknowledge it, but even they say, build it without concern about verifiability, and then we'll go back, and that becomes sort of the second level down.
And then work with the securities commissions or whoever and decide maybe that needs to be upgraded in your MD&A instead of formally put in your financials, and you can balance that, but give options to that. Because I don't disagree with the project. I don't disagree with improving management commentary. It's more, where does it go? What legal liability comes with it, and what auditors can actually do?
Well, keep in mind, this project at the moment is viewed as a voluntary disclosure.
Okay.
It's sort of building a model for how to pull all this other stuff in, you know, the extent wider corporate reporting together in a cohesive, organized fashion. But officially, well, everything, we can't make anybody do anything, but officially this would be viewed by us as a non-mandatory document.
Great, thank you.
James?
That's kind of, that last statement by Gary is kind of answered the question, but I thought I'd ask it just in case. Does this at all provide a forum to air what has happened with the maturity of assets and liabilities tables, where there's been, through the implementation of IFRS 9 particularly, and the classification of various asset liability groups, those maturity tables have actually deteriorated in usefulness in measuring funding. Is that something we can raise now, or is that a totally different topic?
We can raise it, to my recollection, or the board advisors when this that does not come up. But we'll take the notes into your comment, but I don't believe that has come up in the management commentary project. Could be wrong, and not in person at the meeting, but I don't know whether it being raised.
Okay, thanks. Be back at 10:50.